Amen. What a wonderful thing mums are, eh? Amen. They're amazing. So if you could introduce yourself, your name, in case anybody doesn't know you, and then why are you here at this time? What's your story?
Okay. First time holding a mic in a very long time. Good morning. It's easier to hide behind a bass guitar than to speak to the congregation. So very nervous because, again, basically we had a worship session or a baptism session with Pastor Glenn during the week, and he said, you have an opportunity here to either be honest and speak about your story in depth or to gloss over it because you're not going to have an opportunity like this again. And so I thought, okay, let me fast. Let me think about this. Let me actually share what's on my heart rather than gloss over it. But I want to pray first before I do so because, again, it's going to be very emotional, but I think it's a good thing. Ooh, sorry. Father, I just want to thank you for bringing us all here this Sunday, this morning, today. I want to thank you for the opportunity to worship you today. I want to thank you for those of us that have decided to get baptized this morning on the 28th of November. I pray that you fill us with your spirit. Help us to be ambassadors to your kingdom, Lord. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be bold. Help us to stand up where we need to stand up in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So quick show of hands, actually, because, you know, we've been in the pandemic for a bit of time now. Who here knows who my parents are? Okay, cool. So my name is Dilapa, as mentioned. My dad is, can I say Pastor Babs? I don't know. Elder Babs. Sure, Elder Babs, and then my mum, Auntie, well, for me, who's also serving in the church. So I've been coming to Romford Elim since I was probably about, thank you, historian, seven. Since I was about seven. But six, okay. But the thing is, not a lot of people will actually know the circumstances in which we came to this church, and I feel it on my heart to share this. I see it already. Yeah, okay. So I was actually the younger sibling, believe it or not. So I had an older sister called Sharon. Unfortunately, she passed away at 9 due to a brain tumor, and that was a very difficult period of time for the whole family in general. More so than you actually realize growing up, because you just deal with it. You deal with life. You kind of roll with the punches as it comes. But I never realized until I got older the pain it actually felt and how it permeated into other aspects of my life. Very bitter, very angry, very resentful of a lot of people and a lot of circumstances. But all throughout that, I looked at my parents and I was inspired by them because despite the difficult circumstances they found themselves in, they still chose to serve. They still chose to put people before them, to be role models, to look after the congregation, their family. Like, I remember several times with my dad going to visit some of the elderly members in church and thinking, why do you care? Why do you bother so much? You know, like, life can be pretty horrible. It can be bitter. Why do you still give? Anyway, that was the theme of my life. And I remember, you know, I've served in the church for a number of years, played the keyboard, played the bass. But I never felt that same happiness that I saw around me, you know, like with my parents saying, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, whatnot. And I was chasing that. You know, we went on several mission trips to, like, Geneva, to Switzerland, to France. Similarly, I went to the gathering and I invited some of my non-Christian friends. But I never felt that presence, and it was something I was yearning for. Anyway, fast forward to the pandemic, we've all had time to be introspective, think about what's important in our lives. A lot of this baggage from the past started to come to the surface, and rather than run away from it, I started to deal with it. But similarly, I had help along the way. I want to thank you, Auntie Pauline, in particular. You were a massive rock and support throughout the past few years. Pastor Glenn, Auntie Helen, who's not here, but she's here in spirit. And I just remember seeing so many different signs along the way that you've got help, like help really is there. You know, I hope I don't butcher this quote, but it's like, I look my eyes into the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Surely I won't suffer my foot to be moved. He, come on, help me out here, whoever actually knows the rest of it. but the gist of it is like, I've been really encouraged by when I've decided to let people in and lead with faith. I've been blessed. You know, my friends here, some of them are probably still going to come through in drips and droves later on, but Harry, George, Femi, you've seen the evolution. You know, we've had our differences, as I'm sure you're aware, but we've grown because of it. Emma, Adil, Gideon, Jordan, a new friend as well, Nadim, you've all helped me along this way. Family, of course. Even Uncle Lola, thank you for being here. And I'm just really encouraged, and I feel like this is now the time to showcase my commitment to my faith in front of an audience, because for me it's not a joke. It's not a joke at all. It's something which I feel so passionate about. And similarly, it's the people in this congregation that have begun to bring me back. The last thing I'll say, just because, you know, you might have seen me playing keys or bass, I get very emotional when I see the congregation move, when I see you all singing. It does something to me, and it confuses me, because it's like, why am I crying? Like, there's nothing to be sad about. But it genuinely has such a deep connection to me. And that's something I talk about a lot, like Gideon. How many walks have we gone on? I just start talking about the Bible and all. I didn't think I'd be this person, I'll be honest. But yeah, I'm just blessed to be able to share a bit of my story. And similarly, I want to encourage you all to be open, be vulnerable. Like, I feel like being a Christian and being a child of God is to give people the keys to destroy you, and trusting you that they won't, or trusting that they won't, because that's what breeds real human connection, real intimacy. So thank you. Again, I'm blessed to be here, and I just wanted to say that. I need to stop hitting this mic as well.
Amen. Thanks, Dalapo. Thank you so much. Amen. Who's next? Come, Natalie. See, when you turn around, they're not a bad bunch. They're not a bad bunch at all.
Well, I'm so nervous. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I thought I was just gonna.
Come up right, then they can see you over there.
I thought I was just gonna, you know, just gloss over this, but I thought not to hold back, because there's nothing to turn back to. So I wrote something. I hope my hands won't be shaking too much. So my name is Natalie Faith. I'm 22 years old, and I'm from the Philippines. I'm thankful to have come from a Christian family and that I've come to this decision to live for Jesus. But my journey was never linear. When I was 4 years old, I had a neighbor who wanted to be alone with me in secret. She would teach me pleasures of the mouth, tongue, and private. At age 11 onwards, I had an ongoing identity crisis. My body didn't feel like mine, and same-sex attraction felt very natural to me. I felt condemned by church, and I didn't understand why. I was told that I was a curse on my family, because of something I couldn't control or change on my own human strength. I ran away from God and the church, because it felt like just a bunch of vague rules. Jesus loves you, but why? During this time, I was very toxic, empty, angry, and mentally unstable. I was in relationships that left me heartbroken, and I always lost my identity in them. I have seen things and heard things which made me fearful of the dark and fearful to sleep at night. Intrusive thoughts to hurt myself and others. I didn't find any meaning in my life, and I thought I found it in drugs. I was deceived into believing that the temporary happiness I felt on drugs was all what life was about. I was having so much fun. A lot of fun, so much fun, but I did not feel joy and peace. It was only in God that I found real peace, a peace that the world will never be able to give you, because God doesn't give as the world gives. I didn't come to Jesus as perfect. I certainly didn't come to him having ticked all the rules of religion. Jesus came to me. Jesus came to me at the club. He came to me in ungodly relationships. He came to me when I was extremely lazy and sad. He came to me when I was on cocaine. He was always knocking. All I needed to do was open. Coming to Christ, I've discovered that one, when I searched for love on my own, I came back to realize that true love doesn't exist outside of Christ. Two, life is meaningless without Jesus. He saved me and I can't live without him. Three, sin does not fulfill you. The enemy will offer you something that he doesn't own, so that you will lose what you have always needed. I give it all to Jesus. My desires, my futures, my plans, my sexuality, my insecurities, my idols, my anxieties, temptations, lust, everything. He'll deal with it. He'll do his thing, and I'll do mine, which is to stay the course, keep the faith, and be consistently seeking a relationship with him. I want to thank my family and my friends who have supported me through everything. I love you so, so much. And for the ones who were able to make it today, I appreciate you. And thank you for listening to my testimony.
Amen. Scripture says, because one of the questions was, when to be baptized? When there's so much stuff. And the issue is, do you believe? Do you trust Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus? Because the Bible simply says, repent and be baptized. It doesn't say repent and become perfect and then be baptized. It says repent and be baptized. Because when you commit to the Lord, you then have his help to deal with other stuff. So thank you, Natalie, for making that bold step. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's next? Come on, let's encourage Kishi and Tika. Who's going first?
My name is Kishi. I'm 15. I'm born into a Christian family, and I've just always followed the Lord. But just recently, in the last year of my life, it's just that the Lord's really spoken to me. I've just followed the Lord recently. Before, it just felt like I was just going to church, just following with the family. But now, I just feel that I have a spiritual connection with the Lord. And I just want to commit to that in Jesus' name.
Mm.
my name is Kito. I'm 11 years old, and I was born into a Christian family. And at the beginning of the year, I was just following the family. Like I wasn't really into it. But God gave me a grammar school, and I started going to church for like the reason.
And brothers, as well as brothers in the Lord, physical brothers as well. And, I think for them, when it comes to that point where you just realize it's not my family's faith, I need to trust Jesus. And having come to that point, they're taking the bold step of declaring it before you. So we will encourage them, amen? We will encourage them as they make that step to follow Christ. Bless you both. And we look forward to laying hands on you shortly. Amen. One more. Who you are?
Would you want me to stand? Just there. My name's Mandy. I've just been so emotional today. 10th the baptism class earlier in the week, and Pastor said, you've got to prepare yourself to give a testimony. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. But that fills me with nerves. And Pastor was like you said, it's your one and only chance, so you don't really want to miss out on that. So I did what I do naturally. I buried my head in the sand, and I cooked and I cleaned for 2 solid days. My sister called me yesterday, and she was like, so how was your day today? And I was like, I've been cooking all day. I've still got the floors to do. I've still got this to do. And and she was like, okay, Mandy, what's going on for you? What are you trying to avoid? And I got offended. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm not trying to avoid anything. And then I realized that, yeah, I am. I am trying to avoid. I'm trying to avoid thinking about this testimony and what I'm going to say. And I thought about it, and I thought, why am I trying to avoid this? And I came off the phone to her, and I was thinking about why. And it's because, Pastor was saying, it's got to take you back to a place where I don't really want to go. I don't really want to think about those places again, because they do bring me so much pain. But actually, that's when I realized I'm thinking about this all wrong, because actually I'm leaving behind that past, and I'm moving forward, right? So actually, it's okay for me to kind of talk about that and then say that it's gone, it's in my past, and I'm healed from that. And so the good thing about that is that it stopped me dead in my tracks and made me think, okay, I can move forward. But the bad thing is that there's no food for my family later on, because I didn't do the cooking. I didn't do any baking after that. I'm a child protection social worker, and I think there's a reason why I'm a child protection social worker. I strongly believe that children all deserve the same start in life, and I don't feel like we, grown up, had the same start in life. I think we were exposed to things that we shouldn't have been exposed to, and actually, if I put my work hat on and put a label on it, it's domestic abuse and it's alcohol abuse, and they left myself with some really horrible scars and emotional scars that, at the age of 19, I just had to leave home. And I had to leave home for my own mental health and my own mental well-being. Because I think if I'd have stayed there, I wouldn't be the person who I am today. But unfortunately, when I left home, I lived in a hostel by myself. And the loneliness. It does turn you bitter. And you think, why has God done this to me? Like, why do I have to be exposed to these kind of things? And it turns you to things that you shouldn't be doing. But I just felt I was in a really dark place, and I honestly didn't care what happened to myself or what happened. I just didn't care anymore. Although I've had my family, I just feel lonely, going back to that one room on my own, just being lonely, and I just felt no sense of purpose in life, and I just felt bitter towards God. I really, truly felt bitter, and didn't understand why I had these experiences. I remember saying to my husband after, when we had our son, I felt like my son gave me purpose and I had to move forward. I had to make a better chance, a better start in life for my son, because I didn't want him to have experiences that I had. But I still just was lost. And I remember saying to my husband, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God anymore. But my husband was saying, he kind of looked at me with like horror, but he never said anything. And I truly believed at that time that, yeah, I'm an atheist. And I remember as well, my sister doesn't know this, but when she got baptized, I was upset and I was hurt because I felt God was taking my sister away from me. Because I didn't understand why she was making that decision in life. I truly didn't understand it. I didn't understand that relationship that she had with God. And I kind of yearned for something, but I didn't know what I was yearning for. I do think God now, I now believe God, there's a plan for everybody. And I know that my plan, in terms of professionally, that it was to be a child protection social worker. And I think in doing that job, I've been exposed to things that are just not nice and pleasant. But I feel like I'm genuinely making a difference. And I remember one particular experience, just feeling lost. I hadn't found God then, and I just feeling like I don't know how to support this family, and I don't know how to support myself. I don't know what to do because it was affecting me emotionally, and I felt truly, truly lost. And I had to go to court, and I'd never been to court before, and it was a 5-day hearing, and I was really scared. And I remember going into the toilets, and I remember praying, and I said, I don't know why what possessed me to, but I remember praying and saying, God, give me the strength to be able to do what's right for these children, please. And I did, and I did it, and those children were saved in terms of taking away from those horrible experiences. But that's when I thought to myself, God does answer prayers. He does. And then I started, that's when my relationship with God started to change, and I started to think about God in a different way and started to live my life in a different way. And then for me, I just felt this sense of peace, and I felt like this is where I'm supposed to be. This is the relationship with the Lord that I'm supposed to have. And I always knew that today would come. It was just, at what point was it going to come? And I'm just really thankful that I've got to the stage that I am right now to be able to just give thanks and just leave that past life behind, and all those pain and that misery and all of those, that loneliness, that really difficult space in my life, just leave it all behind and just celebrate with you all that I'm entering a new stage. And I'm just so happy and overwhelmed with emotion today. It's just not even funny. I was in the car and I was just crying. And I was trying to hide it from my husband. My husband couldn't see, and I was just crying. And I was walking in here, I was crying. I got in the seat, I'm crying. But you know, it's how to turn to my daughter, and I said, they're happy tears. I'm happy. I'm moving on to a new start in life. Well, thank you. Thank you to you all.
Bless you.
Amen. Wow. Don't really have to say much more than that, really. I think those testimonies speak for themselves. God is real. God is real. I was brought up in church, and I've always believed in God. But I knew about Him, but I didn't know Him. And that's the difference. If you don't know Him, then yes, you will ask the questions, why church? What's going on here? Because you're still looking outside, looking in. But when you know the person, as soon as I met Jesus and I believed that He died for my sin, and we've all sinned, none of us are perfect, so how can we have a relationship with the perfect God? But when I met Jesus and I saw that He died for me, He loved me, and I yielded and asked Him to come into my life, my life was transformed. Literally, everything started to make sense. Church made sense. I was going now because I was going to worship the One who saved me and to serve Him. Didn't ever think I'd be a pastor, no way, but that's the way God led. but it started to make sense. The way I looked at the world began to make sense. The Bible, when I opened it, began to make sense. And I thought, wow, yeah, it's not just us trying our best to find a way and to make up a way for ourselves to answer all the issues in the world. Actually, we need to come to God on God's terms. And He's provided a way. He gave Himself for us. When I hook into Him, everything else starts to make sense. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, in other words, everything else, will be given to you as well. It will start to make sense. Peter, in his first sermon, said this in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God will come and live in you. And then you have the power to begin to tackle life from God's angle, which is the best angle for you as well, to be able to tackle them. And gosh, now I can give people help. Because everybody needs spiritual help. And if you don't find it with Jesus, you will find it in something else spiritual, which will damage you. Because there's a God-shaped hole which only He can fill, because He made us. So if we don't fill it with Him, we will fill it with other stuff. And we've heard some of that this morning. So when we baptize, what are we saying? Let me just say this quickly. Four things. When these folks have been baptized, number one, it's a confession. It's a confession that they are already Christians. Baptism is not making them into a Christian. They have already made that decision to follow Jesus. They've repented of their life without Him, that sin. And now they are declaring it, confessing it before whoever's gathered, which is you. That's a bold step to say, I am a Christian and I'm proud to follow Jesus. Number two, it's a commitment. I use this analogy of a relationship. When boy says to girl, I want to take you on the meal of your life to McDonald's. He's committed himself to that girl. Not to Frida and Frankie, but to that girl. That commitment gets a bit stronger when an engagement ring goes on, because now he's saying, I want to marry you. Let's make preparations in this period to get ready for that. But the ultimate commitment is when he puts on the wedding ring, and before witnesses and before God they make vows, I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. That's the total commitment. And you could say that baptism is the wedding ring for the Christian. The Bible calls us the bride of Christ. And they're saying when they're being baptized, Jesus, I'm following you. Total commitment. Don't know what's going to happen, but it's total commitment. Thirdly, it's a completion. A completion. What's going to happen is when they are baptized, they're going to go under the water, full immersion. That's what we read in the New Testament. That's how Jesus was baptized. That's how the disciples, his followers, were baptized. River, full immersion, to submerse. That's what it means. And it signifies, according to Romans 6:4, you can read it in there, that you're dying to your old life. Now remember what you've just been hearing. You're dying to your old life, your godless life. Your sins are being washed away. You arise out of the water, a new creation. God's man, God's woman, following Christ. That's what it signifies. And it completes that commitment. And finally, it's a commencement. It's a new beginning. If you belonged to a gang ever in your life, then usually a gang has some kind of initiation ceremony. The initiation ceremony for the Christian is baptism. You are being baptized into Christ. That's the identity. Baptism isn't a new thing. Christianity didn't invent it. It was around. And there's all kinds of baptisms. Some of the soldiers in the Roman army were baptized into a baptism of blood. It was a macho religion that they invented. And so for the Christian, it's baptism about who are you following? Who are you following? They're being baptized into Christ. And they'll be done when they are baptized. The words that we will use will be, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. According to Matthew 28, when Jesus commissioned his disciples before he went back to heaven to go into the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be doing in a few moments. So I'm just going to ask you right now just to pray with me. Bow your heads. I want to give the opportunity, if there's anybody here this morning and you don't know Jesus, or you might have known Jesus but you've wandered away. But this morning God has been speaking to you. And in your heart you want to say, I believe. Yes, Jesus. If that's you and you'll want to say, yes, Glenn, today I want Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want that new start in Christ. If that's you, just put your hand up, give me a wave, take it down again. Yes, I'm just asking that so that you know that you've made a decision today to follow him. Because that's where it begins. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? I'm not doing this to embarrass you. I'm doing this to make sure you know. This is what happened to me when I became a Christian, 19 years of age. Anyone else? Then let's pray. I'm going to pray a prayer for those of you who put your hands up. You pray this prayer, not to me, pray to the Lord. But if there's anybody else, you said, well, I didn't put my hands up, I was a bit nervous, a bit scared, but I wanted to, then you can pray this prayer. It's between you and God. Just repeat what I say, and hopefully it will all make sense. It goes like this. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I admit I am a sinner. I am not perfect. I understand that my sin separates me from you. But I also know that you died to forgive me my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Make me clean again. And give me the strength to follow you from now on. Amen. Amen. Let's give these folks a round of applause. Amen. Now, when we finished and we're just milling around and eating and having refreshments around the tables, do come to me and say, yeah, Glenn, I made that, and I'll maybe introduce you to someone who can just have a word for you for 5 minutes, pray with you, because this is the beginning of the journey, not the end. Amen? But God is good and God is faithful. So we're going to just ask the ushers to come and wait upon you for your tithes and offerings. If you are a visitor to us this morning, you're not prepared for that, just let it pass you by. That's not a problem at all, but it's something that we're going to ask the band to come back. We'll just play one more song, then we're going to make our way through these doors for the baptism.
While remain seated as the
ushers wait upon you, we'll just sing a verse or two of this song again.
I heard thousand stories of what they think you're like. I heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night that you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. Who you are, who you are, and I'm loved by you. Who I am, who I am, who I am. I've been searching for answers far and wide. I know where. Only you provide us what we need before we fail. You're a good, good father. Who you are, who you are, who you are, and I'm loved by you. Who I am, who I am, who I am.
I think we're ready. Amen. So, in a moment, Shax and Paul are just going to make a clearer path through here. I'm going to ask, first of all, that the candidates now come with me. We'll go through first. And if you need to get changed, there's cubicles through there. We'll get changed. Babs, maybe you could go through as well and just channel people, make sure everything's safe in there as folks are just making their way through. And positioning themselves around the pool. Parents, please hold on to your children and do not let them loose. And we'll see you in there shortly. Okay?